It's 22 minutes past, and it's a Tuesday morning, and we're joined by Dr. Don Clark, who was a member of the Board of Creation Moments, a biochemist, and an all-around good guy who makes wine down in Garden Valley, Texas. And he joins us this morning. How's life in Garden Valley these days, Don?
Well, actually, I was in Kansas City this past weekend.
I didn't know that. Okay.
But it's been, it's been good. We actually did a first 40th birthday event at the winery. Wow. This past Saturday. Mm-hmm. And that turned out really, really well. Folks really appreciated it and had a great time.
20 years and, already?
No, the 40th birthday party for someone.
I was thinking the winery.
They just asked. No, it hadn't been, they just asked if they could have their party there.
What a great place. Yeah.
Okay. And so, we let them use our facility. They decorated it for a party, and they had a great time.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, all right,
drank some wine, bought some wine, and mm-hmm. everybody
had a good time.
Everybody
had
a good time.
Yeah,
good.
Well, I'm just thinking that all those scientists of old would get together at your place there and propose a toast to little things, because at the time, at the beginning of science, if you go back to Newton and all those guys, and even going back to ancient Greek times, wasn't the idea prevalent that the smaller things got, the simpler they became, the simpler and simpler until you got to a basic building block of life? Wasn't that the notion in the earliest days of science?
Well, yes, and of course, you know, even a little bit earlier, I mean, closer to this time, even with Darwin, for example, they thought that the cell, which, of course, is the building block of everything in biology, mm-hmm. it was just nothing but protoplasm. It was just basically this mixture of the soup.
Even in Darwin's time, they had microscopes that were powerful enough to see an individual cell, correct?
Yes, they could mm-hmm. see the cell, yeah. But the organelles of the cell and how the cell was organized, they couldn't. And so it was just a glob of protoplasm that was just kind of a remnant of this primordial soup, and just happened to be the machinery of life. And they didn't realize at the time, had absolutely no clue mm-hmm. how complex it was. Mm-hmm. And some of the parts of the cell, which we'll actually talk about today, let's just take the cell membrane. So in eukaryotes, we know that the cell membrane is fluid and it's soft and it's made up of a phospholipid membrane, where you have the tails of the oily side of the lipids pointing into each other. So what's pointing out is the phosphate group or the charged group.
In other words, there's organization to it here.
There's a lot of organization to mm-hmm. it. And you've got stuff sticking in the membrane, and it's not just a random thing. But one of the things that the membrane does, for example, is cells, you need to get stuff in and out of the cell. And in order to get stuff in and out of the cell, you need space. So the cells can't be packed so tightly that there's no space for molecules to pass through. So this is just basic chemistry. Just the attraction of the water molecules to the phosphate groups, for example, on the cell membrane surface allows cells the space that they need in order to get chemicals through.
You know, I'm imagining myself looking into a microscope and zooming into the interior of a cell. And what do I see? Freeways, interchanges, clover leaves, traffic jams. Is that so very far off?
I'm not sure about the traffic jams, but it's extremely organized. Mm-hmm. And it's stuff isn't just kind of floating around. There is so much superstructure within a cell that, you've got organelles, for example, within the cell. Of course, you've got the mitochondria, which is the powerhouse of the cell. It produces the energy in the form of the only purpose of the mitochondria is to produce adenosine triphosphate, ATP. Mm-hmm. And ATP is used in all over the cell to join amino acids together to form proteins, to have little things, other proteins crawl along microtubules, for example. And it's just, it's just amazing. But the first thing that you see when you come to the cell, if you were, small enough to see the cell and to actually interact with it, would be this by lipid membrane. And the water molecules that arrange themselves around the cell help the cells to kind of repel each other so that they don't stick together and thereby kind of lose function because they can't transport stuff. Now, if you get down further into the cell, then you have all kinds of proteins involved with the DNA and the RNA. And one of these proteins is like a jackhammer. It's a V-shaped protein. If you think of the DNA, for example, is it's a super coiled, gigantic molecule. It's huge, and of course, it contains all of the genes, and there are different chromosomes, and different genes are on different chromosomes, and
it's in every cell of the body. Every cell of the body, isn't it?
It's in every cell of the body, mm-hmm. and every organism has either DNA or RNA, or both. I mean, we have both DNA and RNA, and they serve different purposes. But DNA, if everybody knows, I don't know if everybody knows, but it's the information storage of this cell. Now, in order to get this very, very long molecule packed within the nucleus, that is kind of the center of the cell, and the center of the cell has another membrane around it, by the way. In order to get that packed in, it needs to be coiled, and so the DNA is a double helix, and it's coiled by itself, and then it's coiled again, and then it's coiled again around proteins called histones. Well, if you're trying to get information out of the DNA, it has to be uncoiled. So there are specific proteins that actually, that's their job. Their job is to uncoil the DNA. Then there is this other protein that's a wedge-shaped protein that once the DNA is uncoiled, for example, and you want to copy it for some reason, either you're going to make a whole complete copy of that particular chromosome in terms of mitosis, the cell dividing, for example, or you want to just copy just one section of the DNA to code for a protein. You still have to do a process that's called unzipping, because the DNA is, like I said, two DNA molecules are kind of stuck together by hydrogen bonds. Hmm. Well, to unstick them, to take apart the latter, if you will, it takes energy. And so there's this jackhammer protein that's shaped like a wedge that uses ATP, interestingly enough, to kind of both sides of this wedge, if you will, stick to different parts of each strand of a double helix, and as the ATP is used up, it inches its way forward, thereby splitting the double helix and exposing the sides that need to be copied, for example. Mm-hmm. Incredible. incredible. It's like this thing walks in splits, and it's it's kind of a jackhammer.
I'm beginning to think
thing.
That my freeway analogy is far too simple. I mean, to think that all this is packed into a cell that we can't see with our naked eyes. This is all so very counterintuitive that something so small can be so amazingly complicated.
Well, it's and it gets kind of more and more complicated as you go along, and each of these functions are really the more we learn about just the cell, the more you got to step back and say, this is impossible. This just couldn't be happened by random chance. It had to happen by some type of design. Everything is so well designed, and it's designed for its particular purpose that it just couldn't have happened by random chance. Now, that wedge protein, by the way, and some of these other proteins, there's another protein that's called kinesin. Kinesin is another interesting protein. It also uses ATP. And it is a protein that walks along a tubule, a microtubule. And it's like a little man walking along a tube, literally. I mean, and the purpose of this is it will, for example, these things kind of walk along this tubule to cause different functions. For example, in an amoeba, and the amoeba is moving in a certain direction, these little kinesin molecules are all coming together and kind of marching in line in the direction in which the amoeba is moving, and actually it causes the amoeba to move along these microfibrils. They're also used, for example, in cell division, because it's the kinesins that move in the central spheres, centromeres of the cells when the cell needs to divide, and half of the DNA goes one way and the other half in the other way. Actually there's microfibrils that are at that point in time attached to the chromosomes, and these little kinesins then walk away from each other and pull the cell up, literally pull the cell apart. This is amazing, to be to.
Well, it is. I can't think of anything that compares. I mean, this is, and to think it's incredibly small, and all this activity, all this planned, organized activity is going on all the time in all the, how many cells? A bazillion cells in your body, trillions, billions anyway.
Now, did you guys do your homework?
No.
Last time we talked, I gave you homework. I said, go and look at the first Men in Black movie.
Oh, that's the
animal. And they've got an example of an entire universe inside a little teeny tiny ball of what we used to call steles, or but probably maybe an inch and a half in diameter. But inside is all these traffic motions and all these different worlds and department stores and people walking around and all the rest of that stuff. And this is exactly what we're talking about. I'm not sure who wrote the movie, but
yeah,
he must have knew about cells.
Well, that's right. Because it's almost like that. And now, you know, these are not little people walking around and carrying things. This is just a protein. And through chemical reactions, that is the breaking of the triphosphate on the ATP into diphosphate, and the phosphate unit getting tagged onto part of this protein enables this protein to walk along this this tubule. So it basically is translating chemical energy into mechanical energy that the cell uses to divide and transport things around the cell. So these things are ubiquitous within the cell. is used in multiple functions, and there is so many of these kinesins, for example, they're now, they've got, I'm looking at probably 20 or so different kinesins that have specific, functions within the cell. But the basic function is to walk along a tubule, is to carry something and walk along a tubule. It's almost like they're little ants, and they're doing their job that they're supposed to do.
You know, to think that this is going on all the time in all the cells of every organism, plant, animal, it seems like there's we should be surrounded by humming sounds, or the temperature should rise, or something indication that all this is going on, because it's all outside of our range of understanding and sensitivity. And if it weren't for modern tools like microscopes, electron microscopes, and researchers, we would never know that all this is going on. This is all happening silently right under our noses, and we've for most of the existence of man, never been aware of that.
Well, that's right. And then the more, the better microscopes that we have, and the better tools that we design in order to probe inside the cell, the more we learn that, hey, this thing is so complex that I'm hard pressed, to say that it just happened by chance. And but yet there are those, of course, we know that are actually in these fields in biochemistry and molecular biology that still refuse to believe that there is a creator God that designed all of this. When we can't even design even the most simplest of micro nano machines, if you will, to even imitate some of the functions or many of the functions within inside a cell.
It seems to me that the claim that it happened by accident is an admission of helplessness. It says there's a limit beyond which my mind is not going to allow me to go. Therefore, it must have happened by accident. I have no other explanation. It's that thinking in the box thing.
Yes, and because they don't want to accept the natural conclusion that, of course the Bible says the heavens declare the glory of God. Well, now we can say without a doubt that the cell declares the glory of God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think
and,
so.
Had the writers of Scripture back then, they might have said such things had they known that such things, existed and to the degree that they exist. And, to say what is yet to come in this field of molecular biology and biochemistry is, the more it's like, the more you look, the more you find, type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really really incredible. If you actually look up in Wikipedia, for example, the kinesin, it has a GIF file that shows the walking of this protein along a microtubule. And it's mm-hmm. quite entertaining to watch. But even some of the descriptions of these things, they say it's because these proteins are so ubiquitous to life, they call them ancient. You know, these are, of course, implying that, okay, this, these were some of the proteins that probably were not necessarily designed, but evolved first. So these are the ancient proteins, and it gives you the impression that, okay, the writer is certainly biased. You know, it's not ancient. It's that this whole, you couldn't have, I mean, what's the purpose of, for example, of a kinesin, this molecule that walks along a tubule, if you don't have the tubule to walk along? I mean, there would be no purpose. So at the very least, both the tubule and the kinesin had to, in quote, evolve at the same time. Well, what's the purpose of the tubule and the kinesin if you don't have something to pull apart or something to move? You know, so you could keep going along those logical lines to say, you know what, this old system had to be in place from the very beginning. You know, one thing couldn't have happened before another. It all had to be there at the same time.
I agree. The theory of, and it's not so much a theory, I think it's pretty well proven, of irreducible complexity. That is, you reach a point where there are separate elements that could not have existed independently of one another. They would have had no purpose. And all this information about what's going on in inside a cell is just absolutely astounding. And we could, and the smaller we get, the more complex it gets. That's counterintuitive. It's an amazing fact of life that we've covered today with Dr. Don Clark, member of the Board of Creation Moments. I want to recommend their website to you, creationmoments.com. And it's quite a resource. It contains scientific information that is fully in support of the biblical story of creation, which is, well, to my mind at least, the most logical approach to the whole question of why. Obviously, there's a designer. Don, thanks so much. Appreciate your time today. And we'll look forward to next week.
Thanks, Don.
All right. Very good. You folks have a great week.
You too. Bye-bye.